Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. As always, I'm honored that you're joining us this week. Now, as you listen to the show, I really hope you clearly feel my passion about helping you change your perspective so that you can clearly see whatever your successful future looks like for you. By incorporating the little changes that we share on the show, hopefully you're able to go back, take that information, create action, and create the huge impact with building your client relationships, whether you're scaling your business, ultimately growing your income. And for me, it's about helping you create the life you desire. So to help you on your journey, I have a new all-star membership site that we just launched, and I'd love for you to join. If you'd like to check it out and see what my community is doing and building, we're literally building a mini ecosystem. So as the tides rise, so do our ships, and that together we can really catapult and create successful businesses. The link is in the show notes, so check it out if you have any interest in that. I'd love to see you in my membership site. Now, my motivational quote today is by the amazing Dalai Lama, and Dalai says, "Just as ripples spread out when a single pebble is dropped into water, the actions of individuals can have far-reaching effects." You know, as I reflect on my personal business and my personal life, I often use the analogy of the ripple effect caused by a pebble in the pond, thus why I chose that quote today. Now, often we have no idea the ripple effect that we actually can cause with the people in our environment, again, both in your personal as well as your business life. And I think that ripple effect is caused by how we show up for the people in our orbit and in our lives. Now, I love using those visual kind of cues because they help us explain deeper concepts with that one visual impact. So whether you realize it or not, you have an impact on everyone around you. Well, today, my amazing guest is Lisa Evan, and Lisa is the founder of Evan Connection. She describes herself as a corporate world junkie turned entrepreneur who is focused on helping people have a good ripple effect through speaking, team workshops, and leadership coaching. Two fun facts are that she has a monthly joy calendar and is on a mission to meet 1 million people. So please help me welcome Lisa to the show. Lisa, thanks for being on and sharing your ripple effect with us.
Yes, thank you for having me. This is great.
Yeah. And I just love the name of your business, right? That whole connection and ripple effect. Mm. And I often think, and that was a good quote, right?
It was. You are so good, Connie.
That was a good one. And we really do have a ripple effect. And I don't think we often realize whether it's a positive or negative impact we have to be mindful of. So my first question, and I got to ask is, all right, you want to meet and connect with 1 million people. Why?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite. Well, I would say twofold. When I started my business, it was right before COVID, and I had just moved to a new city, moved states really. And I quickly realized, oh no, I can't meet the people who might hire me or help me or connect me. And I read a book called The Middle Finger Project. I recommend it. And she says in there, create a mission that not only fills you up, but also people can be like, I want to be part of it. So I decided, well, what do I really want to do? I love connection. That's the whole purpose of my business. So let's do that. Let's connect with as many people as we can and help create mini ripples on the daily that truly spread that ripple effect. And so I'm in the 600s, which is pretty fantastic for 2 years. And I spend about a third to a fourth of my time doing that. And then the rest of the time speaking, coaching, and workshops, all centered around really how you lead yourself, right? What is your ripple effect? I always say everything you say and do is a ripple, happy or crappy, your choice.
Yeah, happy or crappy. Ain't that the truth? So where did that tagline, have a good ripple effect, where did that come from? Like, was that part of the book, that middle finger book?
No.
By the way, I love, just so you know, the middle finger. See, notice I go, the middle finger book. I don't remember the rest of what he
I know. And, you know, I love that she's a little sassy, but also just really actionable. So I definitely recommend you read it. The ripple effect, actually, if we back up just a bit, I had a career in project management, and a senior leader said, I think you're a people manager. So she moved me over into that space. And I would say to my team, which you're going to love, Connie, I would say, guys, we're in here. And I would cup my hands and I would look inside of them and I would say, guys, this is our ecosystem. It's our job to build, maintain, and protect it. If we don't, nobody else will. And then I would say, it's our job to have good ripple effect. And I think from that moment on, my engagement scores, the culture on my team, it really shifted to more intentional action. And I was able to say to maybe, you know, kind of that tricky employee, I'm like, okay, tell me how that was good ripple effect. And it really helps people rewind and think about, oh, right, the things that I say and do have an impact that ripples farther than just themselves. So yeah, it started in operational leadership and now is the tagline for my business.
You know, it's a journey, man. And that's just a beautiful story. And I'll just share, it goes back to what I said at my intro. We don't know the impact we truly have on someone. Recently on LinkedIn, one of the young ladies at my corporate client, I had done coaching for her team within the organization. And one day we were in the hallway. She was coming out of the ladies' room. I was going in and I'm like, hey, how's it going? You know, catching up. And she was thinking about not continuing her education because she had a young family at home. She was working full time and then going to school at night. And I don't even remember really what I said to her, but I just gave her words of encouragement and, you know, basically time's going to march on. So whether you put the effort out now, you put the effort out later, right? Like it's your choice, but you have to choose what's right for you, but don't like not do it because you're busy. That's not a good excuse. Yeah. Whatever I said again. So she just graduated and in LinkedIn, she said it's people like, and she named her boss who I'm very good friends with also, but she put my name and she said, it's that conversation in the hallway that gave me the inspiration to move forward. Now here's the thing, why I'm sharing the story. Did I have any idea that she was going to take my advice or listen to what I was saying? No, it was in passing. I made a brief comment. Clearly she trusted me and my judgment. And remembered that conversation. Maybe it gave her the energy to keep going forward. I had no idea I had that effect. That was probably about 3 years ago. And I just found out maybe a month ago when I saw that post. It's touching. So we never know what effect we're having on someone, good or bad. And it's like you said, right? That little cupping of the hand is how can we make a really good effect out there, a good ripple effect where when we do touch people, there is inspiration, there's a learning, there's something that lifts, right? That lifts and elevates. So I you know, when I met you, I'm like, I'm loving the ripple effect. I use this example all the time. And this is why. And then when we get feedback like that, and I'm sure you've had many people come back to you years later and share how you impacted them.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you said that. I actually host, which I'll talk about here in a minute, connection conferences. And this time I did a keynote speech and I shared with them, I tried to remember the earliest ripple that someone did for me. And it was actually my, like at the time, I think it was probably 70-year-old neighbor, Jerry, who brought me to the Shriner breakfast on 4th of July. And I remember feeling very cool. And he got me a shirt. And I remember feeling like there was more like, wow, like there's more out here. And I'm like, you know, 4 or 5 years old. And I remember just being really excited about that. And I often think back to my neighborhood and those folks who really just kind of helped shape me. And I think that they were some of my earliest ripples. So I love your story. And I relate to it.
Yeah. And it, just another funny story, right? I just launched my membership right in May and we had our first meeting and one of the women, she got the time wrong. So I record it. And of course I sent it to everybody to say, go back, reflect, right? And it's a group dynamic. It's not just me, you know, the talking head. And she watched it and emailed me in the morning, the next morning and said, I watched the video. I can't believe the value within that 1 hour time frame. Everybody was sharing freely with the new business owner and with each other. And it was such love in the room. And she said, that's why I'm in your orbit. See, again, your orbit. And I responded to the email and I said, you know, it's so funny. The first meeting, I was so nervous. Am I going to deliver? Are people going to find value? All of those second guessing ourselves, right? We're human. Uh-huh. And then when she sent that, she missed it and watched a video and felt the love that was in the room and the care. It made me feel so warm, so like, this is, I'm doing the right thing. I'm helping people. It helps you keep moving forward on our own personal mission that you're doing the right thing. That ripple effect, even though we don't know at the time there's a ripple effect, right? But then you get that feedback later. And I think it catapults us and moves us forward to say, I want to do more. I want to help more people. I want to meet a million people. All of those kinds of things that we're bringing good into the world. We need more people like this to just rally together to meet a million people and change the world. And we can do it. It's one person at a time, right?
Absolutely. Oh.
Yeah. What, now I want to talk about, I think everybody understands what a good ripple effect is.
Yeah.
What does it mean to not have a good ripple effect? Because I'm sure we've had those experiences too.
Absolutely. I think when I think about a good ripple effect, it's truly, I use these glasses and I'm going to put them on for people who can see us. I always say, I just want to see it through your lens, right? If I've got a tricky employee and I'm like, hey, you were kind of a jerk to that patient. Can I try on your glasses for a minute? I want to see what you see. Like, I just need to understand it so that I can, you know, usually people have good reasons for doing things, but bad logic, right? They were like, oh, this is what I thought. And I'm like, ooh, let's think of it from their perspective. And so when I think about a bad ripple effect, it's truly when you forget to think of the other person.
Yeah.
And it can be big or small, right? There can be moments, even with my husband, I think about times where maybe I have a bad ripple effect because I'm so stuck in my own world that I forget about his. And so I always say, if you think you have a bad ripple effect, try on that other person's glasses. What do you see? What would they see? What would they feel? And usually you can either course correct or come back and say like, okay, time out. Can we have a redo? Like, I would love to make this ripple effect better. And yeah, that's kind of my moral compass is, did I try on their glasses? Did I try to think at least a little bit from their angle? Because if I didn't, there's opportunity.
Always, right? There's always opportunity. It's funny. I had a speaking event the other day and we were, my conversation was our sales style, right? Our sales communication style. And what is the buyer's style? And we have to understand that, because if you're doing, and I'm doing a mismatch with my hands, guys, for anybody listening on Apple or the other podcast platforms. So, right, you're missing the conversation or missing the perspective. And I talk about the different filters that we learn through life, right? Men and women, we think and see situations differently, not right or wrong, good or bad. It just is, right? Generations.
Yeah.
We have five generations working together. What are the different perspectives? So these filters, you know, where you grew up, did you grow up in an inner city, in another country, and on a farm? It's going to impact how you see the world. Again, it's never good or bad. There's never any judgment. It's just, I have to pause and think, oh, they grew up in another country, or, oh, you know, they also are in an Italian household. I understand that. So what are the filters through our heritage and all these other things that we learn in life? There are filter. That doesn't mean that's how the other person we're communicating with sees the world. So I love that framework of put that person's glass on, like walk in my shoes before you judge me, right? That was an old saying my mom would say. That's exactly what you're sharing here. And the minute we can pause and say, wait, reset, redo, I want to do over, let me put your glasses on, let me pause and see your perspective, I think we create more harmony, understanding, and we pause that judgment that we all have. We judge each other. We judge ourselves. We judge situations, right?
Yeah, it's so true. So true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. My next one in the intro, in your bio, you said you have a joy calendar. I am so curious what this is.
Yeah. So probably 7 or 8 years ago, my husband and I, we were climbing the ladder. We had kids. We tried to, you know, we bought the house. We were doing all of the things that I wouldn't say necessarily we were told to do, but it's kind of like you hear people talking and you're like, Yeah, that's what you do. That's what you should do. That's what you should be aiming for. And really, it resulted in being overscheduled. You know, we weren't flexible with our money or our life or any of the things that we really wanted. So we're sitting in our living room with a glass of wine. And we were like, I'm like, what if joy is our job? Like, what if we could schedule it? Like we schedule our oil change, like we schedule meetings with our, you know, things for our kids' school. What if we could kind of like put it in like a puzzle piece, every, you know, nook and cranny, and just chase it? So we started with a whiteboard in our bedroom. And I even said, one night we were like laughing. We're like, okay, we can't think of anything. You know, we were that burnt out. We're like, we can't think of anything. So I'm like, okay, let's make it up. And we're making up like fake holidays, fake reasons to go to, you know, oh, let's have World Coffee Day that we decided, and let's go to the coffee shop and try out some different things. So it quickly turned from a whiteboard to a paper calendar, and now it's electronic. And I wonder if I can grab it, but my daughter's joy calendar is adorable. So once a month, our kiddos make a paper calendar and they put it on the fridge and it looks like this. So if you're watching, it's the cutest little thing. She writes things like, make donut balls. She wants to do that. Paint by sticker. Go to the pool. And my ultimate favorite, not, is the McDonald's play place. So we now are really in the habit of filling our life with joy. And I always say joy is a verb. It really is something that you have to, you know, seek out. You can't just wait for it to come to you of like, oh, well, when I'm in the mood, I'll be ready. I'm like, no, block it in, just go after it and create a reason to do that. And so that's what we've done. And now our kids do it too.
What a great life lesson for your children, but for you and your husband. And I cracked up when you said the whiteboard in the bedroom. I'm like, wow, romance.
I know. That's what my husband said. I'm like, can you hang it right here? But it was the only place that our kids wouldn't touch. You know, and we, yeah. So I laugh. He's a good sport.
That is a great story. You do know that. That is just for all the married couples out there, like a whiteboard in the bedroom. Oh,
why not? Lisa.
All right. So next question, everybody listening, they're like, Ooh, what a great idea. How do I do that? How do I create my own joy calendar? What would you say?
Yeah, I would say two things. The picture that I just held up literally has the word joy at the top and it's her handwriting. So it can be that simple, right? Like you're hanging a list on your fridge, or maybe it's, you know, on the counter, on a scratch piece of paper. Somewhere it needs to be written down, whether it's paper or electronic, of a few things that you're chasing after. And then the second thing is, when is it going to happen? So I just encourage people to block it out on their calendar and really be mindful of, okay, if I'm a scheduler and I need it to be scheduled, put it there, because otherwise you might not do it. And then the other thing I'll say is the other portion of our joy calendar is what we call crappy to happy. So I teach my kids, there's going to be stuff you don't like to do, whether it's household chores, things at school, eventually when you work. And so we find anything that we would consider crappy. And we say, okay, we're in charge of our mood, our reactions, our behaviors. How do we make that a little more fun? So the easiest example that I give of crappy to happy is, I hate matching socks. I met my husband and he's like, no, we match our socks. And I was like, no, we don't. Like, I don't have time for that. Who does that? And he's like, we do. And I laugh because for the first couple of years of our marriage, we went back and forth. Whenever I did laundry, I threw them in the drawer. And when he did laundry, he would match them. And so now we have what we call sock parties, where we match socks together as a family. We're either listening to music. Sometimes we do it, you know, on the stairs. The kids are like, let's sit on the stairs and match socks. I'm like, sure. Other times we're ordering food, or yeah, just creating ways to, even though you have to do something crappy, that doesn't mean it has to be crappy. You can still make it happy. So I encourage you on your sheet to have a crappy to happy section.
I love it. And I'm thinking, if we did the matching of the socks as a family, because my kids are boys, I have two boys,
oh, yeah,
right? It would become a sock, like throwing socks at each other, right?
That's and what we do.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But here's the thing, what a fun And by the way, you I was shivering when you said you don't match socks. Oh, I match socks. My husband matches socks. So that's why I'm all husband on this.
You're team husband.
Team husband on this. But what are you crazy? Not matching socks. Oh my goodness.
I love it.
But yeah, so I love that crappy to happy as well, and schedule it. So it's funny, as you were saying that, I was thinking, I took my car and it needed new brakes. So we scheduled that, right? It needed to be done. Doctor's appointments. I schedule that a year in advance, right? I'm at my annual. I schedule it for the next year. We are a scheduled society because we are so busy. Our kids are so busy. As a family, we all have become just so exponentially busy compared to when I know when I was a kid, the lifestyle was not as busy as it is now. So when you schedule it, it gets done. That's why oftentimes with friends, we'll say, let's get together. And oftentimes I'll say, let's schedule it.
Like
if
when?
We don't schedule it, it's never going to happen. Even if something comes up that day with, we my age now, we have elderly parents. You never know what's going to happen, right? It's not the kids anymore. Now it's the issue with parents. So it's like, let's schedule it, because then if something does come up, it's in the books, it's in the calendar. We know to reschedule it.
We move it.
You move it around. So the scheduling, I love. So why aren't we scheduling joy in our lives? What a beautiful thing to add to our freaking calendars, right? I love it. I just love it. Yeah.
And be okay with a little bit of messy. Like sometimes, we've done things on our joy calendar that turned out to be, I think about, make it up. You schedule, you're like, we're going to take the kids to the movie. You get there and the movie doesn't play. Or, it's okay to be a little messy. And when funny things happen, as you get more flexible with your joy, you just learn to roll with it. It's like, it's okay if it's a little messy and it doesn't work out quite right and you end up doing something completely different, you'll still walk away with a memory in your pocket.
Yeah. Joy, I think, makes the more we can find joy, the easier life becomes just organically, right? It just, because when you're in a joyous mood, you feel that bliss, whatever that is for you, I think life becomes a little bit easier, more tolerable. It's easier to make it through the day, that kind of thing, right?
The one other thing I'll say is typically when I'm working with teams and talking about joy at work, I often say to them, it's like a bank account. You need to put money in so that when you need to take money out, it's there. And you just hit on that, Connie, of you need to have some joy in the bank, because if you had a really great yesterday and today is really crappy, you're still leaning on either what happened yesterday or what's to come. So if you've got some joy planned of like, well, today sucks, but at least Friday we've got the potluck or we've got the, team tailgate or whatever it is, it's having a little bit of cash in the bank to stand on when you need it.
Well, and the other thing too is even if you have a very scheduled week and you have deadlines and it is what it is, right? Sometimes we just can't change things. But Saturday, you're meeting friends you haven't seen in 6 months for dinner and you bought a specific, special bottle of wine to bring to the dinner. It's something to look forward to. Exactly. And that can provide a little bit of joy even while you're in the angst of your week or whatever. Because reality is we have angst, at work, at home. Life is messy, right? And it's beautiful at the same time, but it's freaking messy. So I think when you have those joyous things scheduled through the month, it gives us something to look forward to. And then it makes the angst and the busyness and the harried feeling all the time makes it more palatable, right? That we know that I'm going to get a break in a week or whatever it might be. So scheduling, I love that because I schedule everything. I schedule bathroom, bio breaks, we call them bio breaks now, but I schedule bio breaks during the day because I was forgetting to go to the bathroom, right? It's crazy because we get busy.
That.
Yeah. All right. Next question. You mentioned it before. I want to just circle back. You host the Connection Conference. Can you share what that is and what the value is for people?
Absolutely. So on my mission to a million, I started meeting amazing souls, even like yourself. Because remind me, where are you located in the world?
New Jersey.
Yeah, I'm in Iowa. And so I think about how my 1 million connections leads me to these amazing souls. Well, I got thinking, how in the heck, for at least the people in the Midwest, can I get them in a room, put a little lighter fluid on them and just watch them go to the moon, right? So I decided to host at what I would consider a connection conference. And this was my third one actually last week. And it's called Rising Tides, which is so funny that you said that. So this is the program conference. I'm holding up the guide to it. And all of these amazing souls came for the day. And what I do, this one was for entrepreneurs and business owners, is I say it's a lot of connection and a little bit of conference. So in the morning, for example, at our first Rising Tides, I set them up in pairs and they did Swedish coffee. And it's called Fika, Swedish coffee and cake with a friend. So I paired them up in the room and I basically set the scene, right? I set the scene and I give them some things to talk about and then I just let them go. And they get a bit of time to really connect and ideate. Later in the day, we have speed networking. So we do a little bit of, they get to meet some really quick connections so that they can walk away. But I also tailor it to where they're talking about things that really matter in their business. So they can really start to see, okay, what are the synergies in our businesses? They get to do a 1 million connection. So I teach them how to do a 30-minute interview. And then we usually have an inspirational speaker and then a little bit more technical speaker. We had somebody do a session on marketing. And I tell you what, there is some magic in it. It's amazing. And it really gives people an opportunity to make some new friends really fast. Inspiration, activation, ideation, and then I send them on their way. And I'm already getting emails this week of like, hey, I'm partnering with so-and-so, or I'm so glad so-and-so was there because I needed somebody to help me with financial coaching, or gosh, you know, the contractor that was there, I have reached out to him and he's going to help me build something in my backyard. So I'm already seeing, you know, the rising tides lift all boats. It's a great day.
It's funny, on my sponsoring a book towards the end of this year, and that's the quote I added on the one sheet for people, because it's all about, and the book is all about community. How do you build community? And I'm trying to get 30 to 40 authors together so that everybody has a little bit different perspective again, right? The filters.
Yeah.
And so I want everybody to talk about, well, why is community important to you? And how do you create this dynamic, thriving community in your world, in your industry, whatever it might be? And I'm really trying to pick the authors so that we come from a little bit different industry or expertise or whatever it is, because somebody who's very tech, how they build a community might be very different than me, who I'm very hands-on, touchy-feely, not in a weird way, right? But I love hugs and stuff like that. When I see people, you know, now it's like, do I hug your elbow, whatever, you get what I'm saying. So again, people might not be able to connect the way I connect because it doesn't resonate with them. But then someone who's very techie oriented, they hear their story and think, yes, that's how I need to build a community or whatever. So, and that's my, I think it was John F. Kennedy who said that quote, right? Is the tides rise, the ships rise together. I live my life that way for 40 years in sales, at least, because you need community. We're human. We like connection. And here's the other thing. Now, as a 60-year-old woman, I know I could not have created the life I have in a vacuum with just my husband and my kids per se, that I look and I see the support with sports. I see the support from my family, my extended family, right? I see support from friends. So you can't do it alone. That's just not how the world works. And so, you know, the ripple effect, the community, all these things we're talking about, it's not an option. I think it's kind of mandatory that we need to do in our lives, you know?
It is. And in my dreams, I would take this show on the road and do these everywhere, like creating spaces and places where folks can truly come together. Like I said, I throw a little lighter fluid on it and we blast to the moon. And I think it's coming. Like I really, really, truly do, because here in October, I'll be hosting another one and we're going to do some fun things. Like there'll be a speakeasy at the end of the day. We've got some really fun, like there's almost like sparkles and surprises that just really uplift and inspire. I teach a session about Michelin star experiences. So we go all over the world looking for Michelin star restaurants, which are truly these places, not necessarily expensive, but they've been graded on the experience that they create for people. And so I'm holding up a red book. This is our Michelin Guide to the Cities of Europe. And I think about creating these days that you just get a little Michelin star. Like you feel like you belong and it's a little bit unique and there's a flavor to it. So Yeah, rising tides do lift all boats. Absolutely.
I love it. I just love it. We're out of time, but in the last I know it goes, at least it just goes so darn fast. It's like, wait, we have more to say. But you know, our attention span of humans is about 6 seconds. So we have to try to keep it to a good time frame. But what advice would you have for someone who's thinking about just making a bigger splash or impact in the world? Like, what would be a good start point for them? I like action. They are hearing information from you and I. How are they going to use it?
Yep. So I usually say, if you could only talk about three things for the rest of your life, what would you talk about? And I think of it like more of, I'm sitting at a coffee shop across from someone, and what are the three things that we are going to discuss? And I always say, for that reason, if you're willing to spend your whole life talking about those three things, one of those three things is probably the direction you can head, right? Whether it's like, I have a passion for the environment. Perfect. Get going. Where can you create a little bit bigger splash, whether it's joining a committee, being a part of a group, maybe starting a business? Just get curious and head that direction, because there's probably someone or something there that needs you, right? You deserve to make that bigger splash, and so do they. They deserve your splash as well. So three things that you would talk about for the rest of your life, and start exploring how you can take that from just, this is something I really love, to something that I can really create.
You know, it's funny, the word curious. I love that word. I think we have to be super curious of the world, of people, of everything that's happening around us, right? There has to be a level of curiosity. And most of my guests, and I'm honored, like people like you come on. And afterwards, you know, when we stop recording, they'll say things like, oh my goodness, I didn't think we were going to go down that road. Or, wow, I haven't talked about that ever on a podcast, but that question was so good. Whatever it was, that maybe I dug a little bit deeper into something that I was curious about. Mm-hmm. And that word curiosity really comes, but my guests say it all the time. And the person who owns Web Talk Radio, she has coached me through the years, and she's used that word. She said, you're so curious about your guest. So that word curiosity, I think it makes us desire more information about, you fill in the blank, right?
Yeah.
Like you said, environment, people, healthcare, you know, nursing homes. Maybe you want to give back to elders who don't have family in the area and who are alone. Whatever it is for you, that curiosity of how can I serve, or how can I support XYZ, whatever that is. So I love that word curiosity. And then taking those three topics that you love talking about and see through curiosity where you land and what groups you can join, et cetera. What a great piece of advice. Thank you for that. That was wonderful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So guys, I don't know, you know, I end the show by saying you need a little more, in this case, Lisa, in your life. So go to her website, which is lisaeven.com. So LISAEVEN.com. I will put it in the show notes. And last, Lisa, you have a free gift. I'll put the link in the show notes, but can you tell everybody what the free gift is?
Yeah. So in the spirit of joy, I have three joy ideas. So if you go to my website, you'll literally, like, 6 inches down, you'll see a circle that says download free joy ideas. And I'll give you three places to start so that you have no excuse to get that joy calendar created today.
Today. Did you hear that, everybody? Today. It's funny. I usually do end the show, at least, by saying, I hope everybody found value, right, in our conversation. Yeah. I hope they picked up a tip or two or an idea of some place to start doing something differently, right? As soon as we'd make that little shift of change, that's where we get enlightenment of change, right? We create change in the world and in ourselves. So again, it's information is a beautiful thing, but if you do nothing with information, Lise, right? It's information. Yeah. I learned something. That's wonderful. For me, it's about how do you apply it? So your advice is just wonderful. And the tip sheet that you're giving us, no excuse. You heard it here. There is no excuse. I love it. Lise, thanks so much for your energy, for the love you bring to the table, and for the ripple effect, because
absolutely,
I think it's amazing. And I think it's a good way to live life. So thank you so much. I'm honored to have you on.
You're welcome. Thanks again.
Yeah, real pleasure. And I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together, no matter where you are in life as it relates to change, whether you've chosen it or it's thrust upon you. I do hope that my guests and I, our tips, our ideas, and strategies just help you create the change you're looking for, and hopefully the change you're looking for without a lot of effort. For me, if we can live life through ease and grace, that's a wonderful thing. And again, I hope Lisa, my guest today, and myself and our stories and ideas just help you move your needle. Thank you for joining us this week. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I'm honored to have you on this journey of change with me, and I will see you all next week. Think of something to do filled with joy and report back. Thanks, everybody.